The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 1 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. Chapter 9, Miracles, Healing, and Deliverance. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. He was despised and rejected, and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth, or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we, ignorantly, considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if by leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement, needful to obtain peace and well-being for us, was upon him, and with stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. From Matthew 4, verse 24, so the report of him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all who were sick, those afflicted with various diseases and torments, those under the power of demons and epileptics and paralyzed people, and he healed them. Chapter 9, Devotional 1, I am the Resurrection, Die to Self and Live. In John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, it is written, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? In this passage, Jesus explains to Martha that Lazarus will rise again. At first, she thinks, he is saying Lazarus will rise again on the last day when Jesus returns. Jesus' next statement is very profound. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Several minutes later, as Jesus approached the tomb, Scripture tells us that he was deeply moved in spirit, and seeing the tomb, he wept. I am always moved by Jesus' humanness. In sorrow and grief, he wept. Ignoring his grief, he entered the tomb and cried out, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus got up and came out. As a Christian, I find great joy and comfort knowing that not only was Christ resurrected from death after the cross, he is resurrection and life for me and every Christian. In this passage, Jesus gives to Lazarus what he gives to all who believe in him, resurrection and life. On the third day, Jesus rose from his tomb, his body complete with the scars from the wounds he suffered. Alive in heaven, he sits on the throne of grace at the right hand of God. I've lost all fear of dying. Sometimes I look forward to dying and going to heaven to see Jesus, the disciples, and all the saints. I'm at peace, knowing that he did it for Lazarus. He will do it for me. He only had to command Lazarus to get up. Jesus paid a far greater price for me. He shed his blood and died at Calvary for my resurrection and eternal life. I will not let his sacrifice, death, or blood be wasted. I choose to believe in you, Jesus, and accept your gift of eternal life. I encourage you to join me and simply believe in Jesus. Eternity in hell is a long time to have regrets. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus, and his sacrifice on the cross. Jesus, I choose to believe in you. Help me to live a life that is a tribute to you and worthy of the price you paid for me on the cross. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 9, Devotional 2. This mummy is no horror story. Jesus raises the dead. From John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44, we learn, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. A common theme in modern horror movies is the return of the walking dead or mummy. In these movies, when the mummy appears, people are terrified and run for their lives. The mummy is always a force of evil and destruction. In sharp contrast, the mummy in this passage, Lazarus, beloved brother to Mary and Martha, friend of Jesus and the disciples, is embraced and welcomed back to life by family, friends, and fellow believers. Following Jesus' instructions to the crowd, they immediately remove the linen wraps from his body so that he could walk freely. We read on that many who witnessed this miracle believed in Jesus and were saved. In this original mummy story, we see the resurrection life was granted not only to Lazarus, but also to many of Mary and Martha's friends and neighbors. They came to mourn a death and left celebrating eternal life. Imagine how upset Satan must have been that day as he watched Lazarus rise from the dead and could only watch as many were saved. What Jesus did for the glory of God was a reminder to Satan that God rules over all things, even death, and that good will always prevail over evil. Reading this verse gives me a new perspective on Hollywood horror movies. Like everything Satan does, they are cheap and twisted imitations of the original mummy story. I know Satan has an influence on Hollywood scripts, since they give power to evil and create fear, even though Jesus' original storyline seems to have been lost on the cutting room floor. I guess Satan doesn't watch many Hollywood movies, because in the end, good always triumphs over evil. I must admit I look forward to a Christian production of the story about the life of Lazarus. Now that is a real mummy story worth seeing. Lord, thank you for the miracle of the resurrection life. Jesus, I give you praise, glory, and honor every time a lost soul accepts you as Lord and Savior, leaves the world, and joins you in eternal life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 9, Devotional 3. A divine facelift. Jesus gives makeovers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we read, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Our society is obsessed with the image of youth and physical beauty. Reports indicate that in 2015, 15.9 million cosmetic procedures were performed in the United States at a cost of $13.5 billion. People of all ages had facelifts, tummy tucks, Botox injections, implants, other procedures to enhance their physical beauty and pursuit of the elusive image of youth. Many procedures were attempts to repair, conceal, or remove physical imperfections. Sadly, attempts to correct these issues often leave a deeper blemish, a broken and shattered soul or mind. As Christians, our spirits have been made perfect. Through the Word of God, we renew our minds and inject His DNA into our soul. As Paul reminds us, each day we get a divine facelift as we are transformed into the likeness of Christ. As we embrace our new identity in Him, we have no need to hide our face, be ashamed or embarrassed. Our new Christ-like face reflects the Lord's glory. His glory increases, invades our spirit, and fills us with His love. His love in us begins to glow and is visible to all. Child of God, submit to God and let Him, one, inject you, filling all your empty recesses with His love, two, cut away and remove all that is offensive in His sight. 3. Lift all that has fallen. 4. Apply the cream of mercy and grace and watch as it erases all the wrinkles, blemishes, dry and cracked pieces of your body and soul. 5. Repair and remove the stretch marks and the deep crease lines caused by hurt and unforgiveness. And 6. Pamper you with daily treatments of grace, love, and mercy. Have you taken a long look in the mirror lately? How do you look? Is it time for a facelift? If so, Forget the cosmetic surgeon, seek the master physician, and invite Jesus to go to work on you. Trust him as he performs a divine facelift. You will be amazed at the results. Lord, thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Jesus, shape and mold me and transform me into your very image and likeness. I surrender every part of me to you. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 9, Devotional 4, A Two-Piece Fish Meal and a Miracle. Keep your eyes on Jesus. In Matthew 14, verses 18 through 20, we hear, "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. In these verses, Jesus performs his greatest miracle and feeds a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We see that Jesus does the following. 1. He spent time alone just before he met the crowd. 2. He felt compassion for the crowd and healed the sick. 3. He ignored the disciples' suggestion that he send the crowd away so they could go buy food. 4. He asked for available resources. 5. He gave thanks to God and blessed the 2-piece fish meal. 6. He supernaturally fed the crowd and produced food in abundance. Reading on, we see that Jesus made the disciples get into a boat to cross the lake. He dismissed the crowd and went to be alone and pray. Notice, he spent time with God in prayer immediately before and after the miracle. Can you imagine the disciples' conversation as they got into the boat and began the journey across the lake? They didn't know there was more to come. Scripture tells us they witnessed another miracle as first Jesus and then Peter walked on water. As an executive coach working with fellow Christians, I spend a lot of time teaching my clients to be still. Like Jesus, we must have an intimate connection to God's supernatural power and anointing. I encourage them to spend time with God in prayer before making decisions, to take confident and bold action, and to expect miracles. It's a simple process, but requires radical change in thinking and behavior. Child of God, do you need a miracle at work or home? I encourage you to set your eyes on Jesus, believe in him, pray, and watch with an expectant heart as he turns a little into more than enough. I pray that you, like Peter, will have the faith to step out of the boat and walk on the water. Lord, thank you for showing us your miraculous power. Jesus, help me have the faith to believe in you and in your divine power. Give me the faith to step out of the boat, whatever you call me. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 9, Devotional 5, Faith in the Master Physician, Healing and Deliverance. Mark 5, verse 34, says, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" In the verses leading up to this one, we're told that the woman had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had gone to many doctors and spent all the money she had to no avail while her condition worsened. As a last resort, she joined the crowd and pressed in to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. Refusing to give up, she held on to her faith, believing that a simple touch would heal her. We see she was rewarded for her faith. Instantly, she was healed and left in peace, whole and complete in every area of her life. I'm sure that in the 12 years that she suffered from the disease, she had placed her faith in doctors, treatments, ointments, herbs, and spices or medicines they gave her. Yet nothing cured her. It took her 12 years to find the master physician. Jesus, the master physician, 1, never failed or lost a patient. 2, always provided a miraculous cure. 3. Released healing power through a simple touch of his robe. 4. Did not need to examine her or get her medical history. 5. Did not need to ask her what she had already tried. 6. Did not have her wait in the office until he could break free. 7. Only needed to see her for a brief moment while he was on the way to perform another miracle. 8. Did not need to prescribe medicines to see if they might work. 9. Only had to connect with the woman's faith to heal her. Child of God, are you tired of the pain and suffering in your life? If so, I encourage you to reach out in faith to the Master Physician. Jesus is still in the miracle business. Seek him. All it takes is a touch of his robe to be healed. Then you too can go in peace. Lord, thank you for your grace and power to heal and restore broken bodies and broken lives. I have faith in you, Jesus, as a Master Physician, and I know you are all I need. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 9, Devotional 6, Be Loosed and Set Free. Jesus will set you free. In Romans 6, verses 16 through 19, we read, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Every day, we see people in slavery and bondage to sin who need to be set free. People who are, 1, wrapped in a straitjacket of anger, hurt, and depression, 2, tied and bound to yesterday's memories and unable to enjoy the present or imagine the future, 3, chained in a stronghold of addiction to food, drugs, alcohol, or sex, 4, imprisoned in a dark dungeon filled with the torment of generational curses, 5, tethered with ropes of fear, doubt, and unbelief, and incapable of reaching for and holding on to life, 6, locked in a closet of hurt and resentment, and afraid to let anyone come into their lives and love again, 7, bound by handcuffs of disappointment and failure, and are reluctant to try and reach for their dreams, 8, shackled with chains of hopelessness and despair, and no longer able to stand or run the race, 9, in a steel mask that covers the eyes and blinds them to their own selfishness, 10, covered in a tight scarf that blocks out all sound and the word of God. Over time, their heart becomes accustomed to the leash of bitterness, envy, and jealousy, and becomes hardened. In a similar fashion, their minds are dulled, and they are rendered unable to focus and fix their mind on God. They even stop testing the chains, give in, accept their fate, and lose all hope of freedom. Child of God, what has you handcuffed and is keeping you in bondage? I encourage you to ask Jesus to come into your life and remove every chain. Trust him and the power of his word. In the name of Jesus, be loosed and set free. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. Jesus, help me trust in you. I stand on the truth of your word that when you died on the cross, every chain was broken. Your sacrifice set me free from all past, present, and future sins. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 9, Devotional 7, Access Granted. Hear God's voice and simply believe. In John chapter 6, verses 64 through 65, we learn, "But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, 'For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father.'" We live in a world of limited or restricted access. In many office buildings, you need a key card or a code just to enter the restroom. Security guards scrutinize you when you enter and sign in at the visitor desk. Many buildings have metal detectors and security cameras covering all points of access. Employees and guests wear name badges that are pre-programmed to allow access to certain floors and deny access to others. Cell phones and many software programs require a password to operate. Get it wrong, and you're locked out. The screen simply reads, "Access denied." Get it right, and you are allowed to continue with your task. It's the same way in the kingdom of heaven. You must be called or chosen. God speaks to your heart, but you must hear his voice and respond in faith and belief. When you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, suddenly the door to heaven opens. As you spend time in his word and on your knees in prayer, a gentle whisper penetrates your heart with the message, "Access granted." Suddenly, you are granted access to the mysteries of the ages, the hidden secrets of God which could only be seen by his children. Truth is revealed. Divine power, dominion, and authority come via special delivery by the Holy Spirit. Signs, wonders, and miracles show up to greet you. The doors to the vaults of unlimited grace are opened. The keys to abundant life are handed to you. Child of God, I encourage you to pray for the lost, for friends and family who don't know Jesus. Pray that they too will hear Jesus knock at the door, and they will say yes and invite him in. Pray that they too will have the peace and joy that comes with access granted to the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you for choosing me and for granting me access to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, you are my password to heaven and access to the throne of God. Help me to encourage others to desire you and to know that you are their only access to eternal life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 9, Devotional 8, Jesus Christ, Supernatural Super Glue, Mend Your Broken Parts. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, we see, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Dr. Robert L. Jones, Bob Jones, my former professor, mentor, and boss, was the king of superglue. He absolutely loved it. No matter what the task, he reached for superglue. Consistent with his excessive personality, whenever he reached for the tube, you knew he was going to use the whole tube. You could forget the 1-2 drops is all you need. His approach was, the more the better. I admit, most of the time his efforts worked, and we came to accept his approach and shrugged it off. Reading this verse, Bob comes to mind. Suddenly, I have an image of a tube on the shelf. Big bold letters, it reads, "Jesus Christ, Supernatural Superglue." As a child of God, I'm intrigued. I can't help myself. I have to stop and take a look. As I turn the box over, I read, "Consists of pure, unfiltered blood of Jesus Christ, mixed with equal parts of love, mercy, and grace. Guaranteed to work in every situation, on all kinds of surfaces and conditions for both the novice and the mature believer. Jesus Christ, Supernatural Superglue, will give you complete confidence as it mends all the broken pieces of your life. Backed by the Creator's lifetime and eternity warranty, as long as you have faith, nothing will be impossible for you. Once the emptiness in your heart, mind, and spirit is filled with our special formula, you cannot be moved. You will not crumble, decay, dissolve, cave in, give up, or quit. Our product is impregnable and withstands all trials, temptations, tests, persecution, hunger, demonic forces. It will fully restore you, redeem you, reconcile you, and heal you from all brokenness, lack, and insufficiency. Your complete satisfaction is guaranteed for all eternity. We have been recommended by countless saints and angels for over 2,000 years. Jesus Christ, Supernatural Superglue. Try it today. Remember, don't leave home without it. Lord, thank you for your love and compassion. Jesus, when you shed your blood on the cross, you showed me the depth of your love, mercy, and grace. Jesus, I will rest knowing that your blood has already fixed every broken piece of my life. through the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Chapter 9, Devotional 9, Begging for a Simple Touch, Divine Healing. Matthew chapter 14, verses 35 and 36 teach us, "And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well." The world of business is usually a reflection of life in general. Heroes are almost always depicted wearing some sort of costume or uniform. For years, the captains or leaders of the business world wore navy blue three-piece suits with white shirts and bright red ties. Times and values changed. The uniform relaxed to business casual, even for leading law firms and banking institutions. Policemen and firemen are everyday heroes and have a standard uniform that's readily recognizable. In the world of entertainment, when you think of Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Luke Skywalker, your mind will summon images of their costumes. Jesus, our hero, did not wear an elaborate costume, just a simple robe. Imagine the scene as the word spreads that Jesus has come to town to preach and heal the sick. Quickly, the crowd gathers and presses close as people reach out and beg to simply touch the hem of his robe, believing that they will be healed. I wonder if they thought his robe possessed supernatural powers, or simply believed that his anointing was so strong that it would pass through and restore anything and everything it touched. The scene described in the verses you've just heard gets played out across the world daily, as crazed fans push and shove and get close enough to touch their favorite Hollywood celebrity or comedian or rock star. While Lady Gaga captures lots of attention with her over-the-top costumes, there have never been reports of miraculous healings through a simple touch. Child of God, do you need healing today? Forget Lady Gaga and reach out for the one whose anointing heals with a simple touch of his robe, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the anointing and healing power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, may I always run to your mercy and your grace every time I have any sickness in my life, knowing that a simple touch of your robe is all I need. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.